You talked about the three AIs, and I guess now with this presentation, we have all three of them have been looked at in the post-5-year tamoxifen.
Correct.
And we've had, I guess, letrozole and anastrozole looked at up front, and anastrozole and exemestane looked at 2 to 3 years. At this point, for these different scenarios, do you think the agents are essentially interchangeable, or do you think it makes sense to follow the data?
Well, we still follow the data, but by now, I think all of us have established some sort of a pattern in terms of what we like to see, and some oncologists, I bet, will use pretty much the same AI all across the board because they're comfortable with that AI. But in general, we follow the data, and we use anastrozole or letrozole up front, exemestane or anastrozole after 2 to 3 years. And now, of course, depending on what strength of the data you like to look at, obviously letrozole has the stronger data. Exemestane now has the second stronger data, if you like. And anastrozole has a study of the Austrian breast cancer study group with about 800 patients having a reduction of about 36%. So the range of the reduction is very similar in all three AIs.
What about differential safety and toxicity issues? There have been thoughts about, for example, cardiovascular issues, which have been seen with letrozole and exemestane, but not anastrozole, I think.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, and this has been raised on numerous occasions. My gut feeling, though, is that when you look at all of these events, there could be some statistical noise. I mean, you prevent recurrences of breast cancer, and you may see some events on non-breast cancer-related causes. But this is essentially no different than when you look at the ATTACK trial, the benefit was more in non-negative patients. When you look at the BIG-198, it was more in non-positive patients, or those that had chemo versus in the ATTACK, those that did not have chemo. I really don't believe that one AI works in patients that received chemo and the other one works in those that did not. I mean, I suppose everything is possible, but it's quite unlikely. And another point is, for example, in the ATTACK trial, it showed a very strong interaction with progesterone receptor status, and then in the BIG-198, it did not confirm that observation at all. So I think even with these large trials and even with these large numbers of patients in the subsets, we still may be led astray to a certain degree by looking at one subset analysis or one observation in one trial and then looking at a different one in the other trial. So I think with more follow-up, I think these things will kind of go away. My gut feeling is that there's not much difference in the events.